Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these sobering words, but Father, true words. God, help us to see what you have for us today from the preaching of the Word of God. For that task to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him this morning in power. Help us to have receptive ears and hearts willing to do and change what needs to be changed and done in our lives. But God, most important, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, may I remind you once again to turn your electronic devices either to off or to vibrate. Please don't text and fool around with your cell phone during the service, and then we won't have to come down and shoot you. You'll get separated. I know it'll be like a shock to you for a moment, but it'll be good for you, and it'll help us today. And then I ask that you sit very still and listen carefully for these next few minutes. The subject we've been preaching on these last several weeks now, about 8 weeks, has been understanding God. Understanding God. We've talked about God's working in our lives. We've talked about God's faithfulness. We've talked about God's mercy. We've talked about God's love. We've also talked about God's justice and God's chastisement. See, well, Pastor Johnson, now wait a minute. Mercy, chastisement, justice, love, those don't go together. Then you don't understand God this morning. See, here, look at me, people. Today, too many people want to define God as they want to be him to be. Well, this, now my God's not like that. See, God, the God that I, my God, well, see, then you're making God and he isn't God anyway. If you can make your God, friend, your God, he's not. He's the creator, we are the creation. He made us, we don't make him. And the Bible is the one of the great purposes of the Bible, there are many, is to tell us who God is. And as we have shown you in each of the messages that we have preached on mercy and chastisement, on justice and grace, and on faithfulness and his workings, those are all things that God is, that God does. He's that. I guess we need a balanced understanding of God. Maybe that's the right expression. Now look at me, please. The point is this morning. If we don't understand God as he is, there's going to be a great shock that's going to come to us one day. Because what we're going to talk about today is understanding God in his judgment. Yeah, well, Pastor Johnson, yeah, I understand. God's the big judge. Look at me carefully. Do you understand today, friend? One day you and I, every one of us as an individual, will have a one-on-one appointment with the Almighty God, and you will face him. And this book you have in your hand today, that Bible, tells you what you can expect at the judgment of God. So there won't be any shock there. Oh, I've sat in courtrooms, many a courtroom, and waited for the judge's decision and wondered what the reaction, what the judgment would be. Even though we have all these laws, it's amazing how many judges legislate from the bench and do things. We see that in our Supreme Courts and things like this. But I've sat in a courtroom before and waited for the judge's decision, not knowing how it was going to go. But I can tell you this morning, my friend, if you'll listen carefully today and you'll take this Bible right here and you'll understand God's judgment, you won't be shocked when you stand in front of God. You won't hear Him say a thing. Nothing will happen to you that will surprise you for a second. You won't say, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't know that was going to happen. Because the same God who loves you and forgives you and is merciful and is faithful is the same God you'll stand in front one day for judgment. And this thing about His justice will be more revealed at that time than any ever. There is a God today, the God of heaven, and one of His attributes and actions is He is a God of judgment. Now you understand what judgment, the purpose of judgment is. Why does God judge us? Number one, He judges us for examination. He is going to look very carefully at our life, at the examination or the judgment of God. Now, He will examine your life based on its impact and effect and what you've done with that life. So at the judgment of God, God's judgment, there is examination. Number two, at the judgment of God, we'll also find that there is what is called revelation. At the judgment of God, God reveals to us, and to everyone else at the judgment at that point, God reveals to us what our life is like. And He reveals to others also. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, where every Christian will stand one day, everything will be made manifest there. And so judgment is a time of revelation. God will reveal things. People say, well, you know, nobody saw me. Nobody knew. At the judgment of God, you will know and everyone will know. It's a place of revelation. So there's examination at the judgment of God. There is a revelation at the judgment of God. Number three, there is separation at the judgment of God. After God judges somebody, He will separate them into distinct groups. As we will see today, heaven, hell. God will separate these groups. So at the judgment of God, once He's done and He's examined and revealed, He separates. He says, you go over here and you will go over there. By the way, let me say this very carefully. And at every judgment of God that is to come, no one says a word. God does all the talking. It's not one of those examinations where God says, okay, now look, April the 14th, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what was that all about? He already knows what it's about. He'll say, April the 14th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, this is what it was about. So there's examination, there's separation. Number four, there's administration at the judgment of God. In other words, God administers, in some cases, reward and blessing. And in some cases, He administers punishment and loss. So, well, Pastor Johnson, I want to make sure I get in the reward line. That's the line I want to be sure that I'm in. Very intelligent. Excellent concept. Because you see, when it comes to this thing about judgment and God's judgment, we need to do this also. We need to acknowledge that it's going to happen. Now look at me. Close your eyes. Close your ears. Say, I don't care. I'll deal with it when it comes. That's not acknowledging the judgment of God. By the way, that is stupid. That's STOOOPID. Stupid. I don't think that'll think. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned about it. Listen to me, friend. When that day comes and you stand there and you go, oops, this is really true. God's going to say, okay, now for you, would you step here a moment? On April the 19th at 11:45, this guy dressed like he was trying out for Gladys Knight and the Pips stood up and told you there was going to be a judgment. So you got to acknowledge it this morning. Acknowledge it doesn't just mean it's going to happen. Acknowledge it means you believe it's so, because it is. Say, how can we be sure, Pastor Johnson? Because of the book you hold in your hand. There is a God in heaven. We must acknowledge this thing about judgment. Next thing we need to do about God's judgment is this morning. Listen very carefully, please. We need to prepare for it. Since, not if, since we will all be judged by God, we need to know the judgment of God that will be coming. We need to be ready for it and be prepared to stand before God. No one needs to be shocked at it. No one needs to get there and say, well, I left my briefcase and my lawyer's busy right now. And he will. You prepare for the judgment of God. That's why God put it in the Bible. so you can get ready for the fact that you're going to stand there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. We have a whole society of people today who want to put everything off till tomorrow. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, there is an event coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We return to heaven in an instant, just like that. Do you know what's the first thing that happens when we get to heaven? We check out all the golf courses. We find out where our mansion's going to be. You know what happens when you get to heaven? You immediately stand in front of Jesus Christ for examination. That means, consequently, my life, that means if the trump of God sounds right now, you face Jesus with the life you've lived up to this point since your salvation. So then preparation is a key here. We want to get ready for this thing. It's going to happen, so we must prepare. In fear! No, friend, with knowledge. With that book you have in your hand, realize this is going to happen. So prepare for it. And the last thing you want to do about God's judgment is this. You want to choose the one you want to go to because you can. You can choose the judgment of God that you will stand before, and you can choose it, and you can do it today. One judgment, as we will show you, everyone who goes to the one judgment, the great white throne, everyone at that judgment, for judgment, goes to hell. Every person. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, takes place at different time, different place, different situation. The judgment seat of Christ, every person at the judgment seat of Christ goes to heaven. And you today can determine which judgment you will go to. Now, I know this may seem like a complex question to ask somebody on a Sunday morning, but which one would you choose? The one where everybody goes to hell or the one where everybody goes to heaven? Oh, but see, that's determined at judgment. Then you don't understand the judgment of God. The judgment of God is to examine us and to reveal and to separate. But the separation isn't done at the judgment. And God says, okay, now let's see. What did he do? Okay, we'll let him go to heaven. You go to a certain judgment. At that judgment, everyone goes to heaven. You go to another judgment. At that judgment, everyone goes to hell. And you determine in this life which one you're going to by whether or not you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May I give you the judgments today? There have been several that have fallen on this earth. God judged Adam and Eve for their sin. God judged this world with the flood and Noah and the ark. God judged the children of Israel because they would not live right, judged them with the captive army of the Babylonian Empire, and then judged the Babylonian Empire for conquering his people. But there have been five distinct judgments that are in this age in which we live. We will not cover all five this morning, but let me give you the three. Now listen, judgment number one that has taken place in this age is Calvary. On the place of Golgotha where Jesus was crucified, the judgment of God came down. And Jesus Christ was judged for our sins. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. There on Calvary's cross, Jesus suffered the judgment of God for sin in our place. Remember at the cross, there were two other thieves there with him. Crucified with Christ. One on either side. One of the thieves, unrepentant. Cursing, swearing. He's going to die for his sins in his life. He goes out cursing and swearing. Unrepentant. Dies with the Savior of and the Lord of salvation within arm's reach of him. He goes out unrepentant. The thief on the other side, dying for his sins also, by the way, turns to that Savior and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, after you get baptized, you live a good life. And you hold out faithful to the end. And you do the do's and you don't the don'ts. And you be a good little boy. Maybe I didn't have time for that, people. That man was nailed to a cross just like Jesus was. He had no time for righteousness. He had no time for good works. He had time for faith in Christ. And that thief in repentance of faith turned to Christ and was forgiven. One thief unrepentant died in his sins. The other thief repentant turned to the Savior and was forgiven. And there on Calvary, God gave us a beautiful picture of how anybody who is willing to come to the Savior, the Son of God, and believe that Jesus died to save them and give them salvation and eternal life, and in repentance of faith, you turn to Christ and trust Him, God forgives you and wipes away your sin. And the judgment of God is lifted off of you and placed on that man in the middle. Jesus dying for our sins. It's also a picture of how, my friend, you can go through this entire life and be unrepentant about anything, don't care, don't give a flip, won't turn around, won't turn to God, won't give Christ the chance of hope, of salvation, and you die in those sins, you die without God, you die without Christ, and you suffer the punishment of that sin. And there on that cross, those two men chose their judgment. One man chose to be judged for his sins on his own, and he died in those sins. The other man chose the judgment God put upon Jesus, and he died forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, in this day and age in which we live today, that's the greatest judgment of all. You see, you have a choice this morning. You can choose to have Jesus judged for your sins and trust the payment Christ made for you for salvation, and God will forgive you for Jesus' sake. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The cross of the Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only hope of missing the judgment of God for our sin. And we're no different. The question this morning is, what kind of thief are you? Which of the two thieves are you? Repentant, turned to Christ, forgiven, or still trying to do it your way instead of God's way? Until then, the wrath of God abides on us, and the judgment of God is on our sins. But then, I was talking to a man one day about his salvation. He said, No, you have to live a good life. You got to do the do's, don't the don'ts. You got to be baptized, this and that. I said, well, what about the thief on the cross? That man who turned to Christ in the last moment, what about him? That man never got baptized. He never had a chance to do good. He had no hope but the Savior who was next to him. He said, well, that was a different dispensation. I love when they get theological. Just love that theology. Truth of the matter is, I don't care what seminary a person goes to, you can't escape the fact that one sinner got forgiven and was saved and the other sinner died and he's in hell 2,000 years later. And friend, that's as simple as it gets. You understand? The judgment of God is there until we turn to Christ. Because you see, God judged Jesus for us. And Jesus was willing to take the judgment of God upon himself. Have you done that? Have you put your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation this morning? And have you accepted him for your forgiveness and trusted Christ alone for your salvation? Until you do, then there's a day of judgment where God will examine us, examine you, and reveal the consequence of the actions of rejecting Christ as your Savior. Heaven is not for the good. Heaven is for the saved. Heaven is not for the perfect. Heaven is for the saved. Heaven is not for those who do their best and try to honor God by how they live their life. Heaven is for those who are sinners who turn to Christ as the Savior and trust him for their salvation and allow that Jesus' death for them gives them their forgiveness. His resurrection gives them their eternal life. It's all done right there, every bit of it. Can you imagine someone accepting God's judgment in your place? See, the problem with religion trying to save people is we're all sinners, my friend. I can't die in your place and you cannot die in mine. We have a sin record before God that has to be taken care of. I cannot grant you forgiveness. I can't give it to you. It's not my right to give it. It is God's and God's alone. And Jesus paid for the privilege for you and I to have the forgiveness of God. There is the judgment of Calvary. In your Bible today, as we read there in Revelation 20 and verse 11 to 15, there is the judgment of the great white throne. At this judgment, all who are judged there are sent to hell. Look in your Bible, please, at Revelation 20 and verse 15. It says, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everyone, small and great, the Bible says, all standing here, all of them are examined, every one of them winds up in hell. Now that means this morning. Friend, listen to me. That means that on the other side of this life, in a place God has chosen in eternity, He has reserved a judgment. Well, then what is the point then? If everyone goes to hell, what's the point of the judgment? Well, look at the verses, please. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, last statement, according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. You see it? You see, at the judgment of the great white throne, the reason that people stand there for judgment is not to determine that they would go to hell. They're going to go to hell. The judgment is to judge them according to their life that they've lived and the impact and effect of that life upon people. I was coming back from Chicago here recently, and on the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times, I believe it was a man who was going to be given 14 years in prison for murdering 12 people. Murdered 12 people. And was going to get 14 years in prison, not even a year per life. That's not justice. That's a system of justice that's frankly broken and pretty messed up. Yes? The point of the great white throne judgment is not for you to pay for the consequences of your wrong. It's to pray for a person to receive the punishment for the life that they lived and the impact of every life that they touched. I don't think I'd want to be Fidel Castro at the Great White Throne Judgment. Irrespective of how much our president seems to want to make love with Castro and Cuba, the truth of the matter is the man is a communist, he's a dictator, and he slaughtered tens of thousands of his own people. Wouldn't want to stand, look at me, I wouldn't want to stand in front of God with the blood of people dripping from my fingers. Do you understand, people? Look at me. The consequence of our actions will come to us there. Well, Pastor Johnson, come on, give me a little bit of hope. There is no hope at the great white throne. Look at me. There is no one here who is judged who winds up in heaven. I said to you that you must choose your judgment. If you choose Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust Him for your salvation, your sin debt is removed. You don't stand at this judgment. You chose to miss that one, and you chose for Christ to pay your penalty. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. That's what makes grace still amazing, yes? The fact that God would give us this opportunity in this life as hell-deserving sinners to forgive us of our sin and wipe the slate clean. All done. All of it because of Christ. But if we choose to not go that route, we choose to do it our own way, the Bible says we stand there and according to our works, verse 12, according to our works, verse 13, we are judged, and our hell then is determined, and the quality of it and the punishment therein is determined by the lives we affected. We live in an arrogant and a cocky society today. It seems like people are so braggadocious and big-mouthed while they're healthy, while life's going on, and while the world pats them on the back. Preachers like me today, we're nutballs. Yes? Intolerant. Unkind. Truth of the matter is, I am tolerant. And I'm about as loving a preacher as you'd ever come across this morning because I'm telling you the truth. Because I don't want to see you at a place like this. Truth is, if we could take the scripture and go further, we'd find that there are Christians at the great white throne judgment, not for examination, not for judgment, but for witness. People will step up and say, wait a minute. No. No one ever told me that before. And God will say, step forward. Step forward. You. That's a, see this grandma right here? Remember grandma? Remember how she talked to you about Jesus and salvation? Step up here, mom. Mom, come over here. Stand right here. See this mama right here? Remember she talked to you about your soul. She loved you and she told you about Christ and salvation. Preacher, come over here. Stand right here. Sunday school teacher, stand right here. And God will start to bring out the parade of witnesses of people who stood in front of you. Met you one day on a street corner and just handed you a tract. And you said, yeah, right. I threw it on the ground and walked. roped off. Hey, knocked on your door and chewed a person out because you said, I don't want people bugging me about religion. All that sort of stuff. And God will parade the witnesses out in front of you and say, this one tried to tell you, and this one tried to warn you, and this one cared enough to let you know, and this one encouraged you to be saved. We'll be there for witness, but not for examination, just to say we cared enough to say yes. It's not very often in our area that we get chewed out by people when we knock on doors to talk to them about Christ. Whenever it happens to me, I never argue with them about it. I just say, I'm sorry I cared about you. I'll leave you this track and walk away. But I'm not mad at them. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Christ. Don't you understand, friend? There is this time. The third judgment of the last this morning is what is called the judgment seat of Christ. And if you'll pardon me for time's sake to not go to the Scriptures, you could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Bible says clearly, listen, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in their body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat as it is referred to, is that place of examination for all the children of God, saved people. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you will go to the judgment seat of Christ. And everything will be revealed. But you know what's not there? Sin. Pastor Johnson, I mean the judgment seat of Christ is a fearful thing. It's only fearful because of the impact of our life for God and for good. But you and your sin and God will never meet up again, friend, because Jesus was judged for you at Calvary. He took the judgment of God upon him for us. So that's not fair. You're absolutely right. That is not fair. But it's the way God has designed it. So then what's the point of the judgment seat of Christ? Again, for each of us to be judged according to what we have done with our life from our salvation to that very moment. Not just this life, but the life we have lived and beyond. We talked about a man this morning in my Sunday school class, the Apostle Paul. Lived 2,000 years ago, and yet to this very day, there are people's lives being impacted by that one little man named Paul, and he preached the gospel and what he did with his life. 2,000 years later, his life is still having an impact. The judgment seat of Christ, it'll be interesting to see. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. There'll be all the big boys, you know, pushing their way to the front of the line with their thumbs in their spiritual vest, talking about all the stuff that they have done for God. And Jesus says, I don't want to put up with you right now. Go stand in the back of the line. Grandma, come here. Come here, Grandma. All she did was try to raise a grandson to live for God. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that grandson or that granddaughter led souls to Christ and lived for the Lord with their life. See, first, last, first. So there's something amazing about the judgment seat of Christ. And then God says, now let's see what they did with their life. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, let's see why they did it. What was the purpose of all this? Was it really? Was it really so people would just like you? Or was it about doing what the Bible says? And why we did what we did and how we did it? It's all determined there. And when the motives are right and the actions are in order, God says, here you go, friend. But do you realize, friend, this morning that the judgment seat of Christ for all of the saved from Adam and Eve to the last one takes place within a 7-year period? And all those millions of saved people are judged within 7 years, one at a time. But it doesn't take long to judge somebody who stands in front of the Lord and everything is lost. He said, let's see what they did with their life. Well, they have the salvation. Wonderful. Anything else? You mean they live for themselves? Enter into the joy of your Lord. Next, please. You can judge a lot of people pretty quickly that way. Did you know that? Always remember this statement, friend. It is not what you take to the judgment seat of Christ that matters. It's what you leave with that counts. Because after he examines that, reveals it, looks it over, separates the good and the bad, wood, hay, and stubble from gold, silver, precious stone, he says, now let's see what's left here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Next, please. God is a God of judgment. He is going to settle this matter, make everything right. When it's over and said and done, the judgment of God will bring the justice that this world needs. Not the United Nations. Not the edicts of man putting their arms around each other and performing one great big rainbow coalition. It'll be the Almighty God of heaven at His judgment bar that will settle all matters. And when He's done, the ground's level, friend, and everything is right. The question is this then. Which thief are you this morning? Which judgment do you choose? Let's stand to our feet. Would you please, heads bowed and eyes are closed.